Please join me for the prayer of illumination. Dear Lord of language and song, help us navigate this morning through the many images of your psalm. Amen. This is Psalm 65, which you can find in the Pew Bible on page 527 if you want to read along. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who answer prayer, to you all flesh shall come. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength you established the mountains. You are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. The word of the Lord.
Sing, O Zion. Good morning. We've heard from the prophets over the last few weeks, and the pictures that the prophets paint in Scripture can often be quite bleak and desolate. Prophets are truth tellers. They tell us the truth about how the world is, not with a lot of sugarcoating or spin to make it seem better. They simply call what is what it is. They call upon God to name the truth of how things are being misused. They pull back the curtain and expose suffering, the degradation of creation, and the inequities of humanity. And today we'll hear a familiar passage from the book of Joel, often read at Pentecost, to describe how God pours out God's love and spirit upon the people and calls them. But before we do, we need to set the stage with words of hope and comfort that will later be heard by hearing an opening of words from the book of Joel that paint yet another desolate picture of a world on the brink, the truth of a land desecrated and a people in lament. Let's hear the beginning of the book of Joel. "Hear this, O elders, give ear, all inhabitants of the land. Has such a thing happened in your days, or in the days of your ancestors? Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. What the cutting locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten. And what the hopping locust left, the destroying locust has eaten. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. And wail, all you wine drinkers, over the sweet wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has invaded your land, powerful and innumerable. Its teeth are lion's teeth, and its fangs are those of a lioness. It has laid waste my vines and splintered my fig trees. It has stripped off their bark and thrown it down. Their branches have turned white. Lament like a virgin dressed in sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The grain offering and the drink offering are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn, the ministers of the Lord. The fields are devastated, the ground mourns, for the grain is destroyed. The wine dries up, the oil fails. Be dismayed, you farmers. Wail, you vine dressers, over the wheat and the barley, for the crops of the field are ruined. The vine withers, the fig tree droops. Pomegranate, palm, and apple, all the trees of the field are dried up. Surely joy withers away among the people." Let's pause for a moment there. I invite you to exhale the breath that you are holding. The weight of this passage, the heavy images of a desolate land. I invite you to take a big, deep breath in. I invite you to exhale the truth of our own desolate land. Exhale the suffering and sorrow that we witness and experience ourselves. Breathe deeply in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Before we move on today, let me ask you, are you in need of comfort? Do you long for a comforting word from the Lord today? Honestly, I ask you, raise your hand if you feel the weight of desolation and scarcity in the world this week. Raise your hand if you've seen pain and famine, tears and sadness. Raise your hand if you've longed for God's peace, for God's love to come and to make all things new. See this, we are in solidarity with one another, and we are in resonance with God's people who faced desolation. And let me just continue to unsettle you for a moment. Because I promise you, we will see that this word of the Lord turns to us unequivocally toward hope of restoration. I imagine it's not news to many of you that our religious institutions face statistical decline in the United States. Church membership is dwindling. Long-standing congregations are slowly closing down across the country. I was at a presbytery meeting the last couple of days where once again we heard stats that point to fewer and fewer traditional models of brick-and-mortar churches carrying on in their ministry. There's a deep sense of sadness and loss in that. And I mentioned a few weeks ago, as we began our stewardship season, that St. James has been no stranger to the sense of impending decline and change. There have been years in the not-so-distant past when, through ongoing transition, our congregation felt the loss acutely. You know this pain and this fear. And one of the great disservices that we do ourselves as the church is that when we deny the reality of that pain or the struggles that we face, when we simply push it down or ignore it or lash out in anger without healthy ways to process this grief and tears, we do ourselves a disservice. To this unwillingness to acknowledge and name the pain, I want to forcefully say that we must name it and confess it. We must speak it out. We must own it. We must breathe it. For it is in naming the desolation, the acknowledgement of what is not working, that we enter into a process of true healing and restoration. As we hear in the opening of the prophet Joel, the people of God and their prophets have known the truth about what I am saying to you. They have known that this pain must be spoken. Amidst the desolation, it must be acknowledged. And Joel does so in passionate, descriptive, poetic ways. Some of the most direct criticism I've received as a preacher is that people don't like to come and gather and worship to hear how bad the world is. And equate things like biblical famine and struggle with some of the struggles we face today. I've heard that a couple times. And to this feedback, I have to respectfully respond. It's that very sentiment that withers the church of its strength. The denial of the truth, the denial of brokenness and desolation that we see, in fact, weakens us. It diminishes us. We must name the truth. We must tell the truth about the struggle, the heartbreak, and the pain. Not because we dwell upon it, but because we are a people of hope. Naming it acknowledges the weight that we are all bearing. Naming it undoes the power of the oppressive forces that hold upon us. I'm reading to Asher. You'll think this is great, I hope. I'm reading Harry Potter books to Asher, a 5-year-old. And he's doing okay with them so far. I'm reading them aloud to him. And he's actually comprehending some of it. Now, the antagonist in those stories is a wizard, a dark wizard named Voldemort. One of the biggest reasons he holds power in those stories is because people fear to speak his name. They call him You-Know-Who and He Who Must Not Be Named. And by not naming them, they give him power. The prophets, on the other hand, are without fear. They tell us the truth. They will say the name. But as they tell us the truth about what is, they also tell us the truth about what God is and who God will be. So let's hear the reading from Joel chapter 2. Here, once again, we hear that the truth is being named and the hope of restoration is found. Joel chapter 2, verse 23. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given the early rain for your vindication and has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days, I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day that the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said. And among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. There is our hope. My friends, have you not heard? Have you not seen? God is the everlasting God, the mighty God, the Lord of creation, the God of the universe, the great unitive force of restorative life in the world. And in and through and above and below and around all creation. And so we come to God in our desolation. We come to God with our grief. We come and we receive comfort. This is the comforting balm of God. Not to stay in desolation, but to receive new life in God's Spirit. And then, as Joel says, afterward, God's Spirit is poured out once more. We hear this passage frequently in the aftermath of Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. Even the most miraculous of events, the disciples still are in fear about what will be. And as the prophet says, God's Spirit pours out once more. We have all seen the scarcity, the desolation, have we not? And now, afterwards, nonetheless, and all the more, and over and above it all, God's Spirit is received, poured out and lavished upon us to call us to new life. Let's go back to the statistics about the church declining in North America. Yes, yes, it is in many forms. Many traditional forms. And yet, you know what else is happening? God is stirring up a new thing among our congregations. A fresh expression of the church in the wake of the decline. I was hearing these statistics about decline in the context of a movement within our denomination where churches are banding together to explore and dive deep and strengthen their vitality in ministry. As Christians, we know that death doesn't have the final word. And for the church, we trust that it does not die, yet it gets reborn, renewed, resurrected, reinvigorated. Can I get an amen to that? It is done so with love and passion and prayer and fruitful work as we band together here into the next chapter that God is calling us to. While some things are declining, many other things are blossoming. It's so appropriate that we hear this message in the season of autumn. We see the leaves falling all around, the land growing cold and wet, the decay at the end of the harvest. And we could mourn this, the loss of what was. But we know better than that. We know that after an abundant harvest, the land must go into a season of decay and decline and rest. And when it does, we always anticipate the coming of spring, the coming of a new crop, the fresh growth, don't we? We believe this every single year. And it's happening in the church too. It's happening all around us. We know that our church here at St. James Presbyterian is experiencing this kind of revival and spring-like growth. We see it in new members joining our congregation. We see it in folks who come to visit and then get involved and stick around. We see it in the blessing of our children. We see it in getting to baptize a new baby. We see God stirring something up here and now. This is God's outpouring of the Spirit. Can I get another amen to that? It's good news. God is stirring something among us. Let's hear these words from Joel once more. Then afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even your male and female slaves in those days, upon them I will pour out my Spirit. After the decline, and after the desolation, and after the scarcity, this is what rises up. God's people receive a new outpouring of the Spirit. God's people become visionaries. They dream. They become proclaimers of hope. God's people, all of God's people, are feeling and sense this call of uniting in the power of the Spirit. And I want to boldly say something, that I believe this is happening among us. Here, you, me, all of us. God is pouring out God's Spirit upon us. And what I want to leave you with today is a challenge. As we turn toward baptism, a challenge and a promise. Will you receive this Spirit? Will you receive the Spirit which will blow through your life and awaken you to a vision of God's kingdom that is fresh and alive? Will you allow the fear of scarcity and worry about the past fall away? And will you receive the promise which is right here for you to join in, to be a part of the thing God is doing? Will you? Let's pray. Oh God, beyond all praising, we worship you today. We trust that you are pouring out your Spirit upon us. We ask that you would make us receptive of that. Open our hearts to the way you are pouring out your presence here, that we might be ministers of that gospel that changes lives, that sets captives free, that opens us up to your restorative love. Spirit, fall on us today. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.